a hole in the air.
Hi, this is John Hall. You're listening to WGXC 90.7 Acre.
Follow WGXC on Facebook or Twitter. There will be constant updates of on-air interviews, community news, weather warnings, and more at twitter.com/WGXC. And those WGXC Twitter messages also go to facebook.com/WGXC radio. Tune in to WGXC on 90.7 and at the web at WGXC.org.
Wave Farm programs are made possible in part by the New York State Council on the Arts, with the support of Governor Andrew Cuomo and the New York State Legislature, the National Endowment for the Arts, the Greene County Legislature through the County Initiative Program administered by CREATE, the Alexander and Marjorie Hoover Foundation, the Teabacker Fund, the Joseph Family Charitable Trust, and hundreds of other generous individual donors, including WGXE sustaining supporters, who provide critical monthly support. Thank you.
WGXC is made possible in part by the generous ongoing support of Blanche Mackey Photography of Craryville, New York. WGXC's sustaining supporters are among the station's most dedicated listeners. They care deeply about creative community radio, and their investment helps to sustain WGXC as a public platform for information, experimentation, and engagement in Greene and Columbia counties. Become a WGXC sustaining supporter today. Go to WGXC.org and click Donate. Thank you for your support.
We interrupt this broadcast to bring you a special news bulletin.
Stay tuned to this station.
Stand by for news.
Direct via satellite from our on-the-spot task force.
Good evening from our newsroom in New York.
This is
Daily News and Weather Report.
From the WGXC newsroom, this is the WGXC Hands-On Radio News Update. I'm Philip Grant.
This is Tom Rowe. You can go to the newsroom at WGXC.org for more information about anything you hear here. The year 2021 did not begin any better than 2020 locally for COVID-19. Several records were broken, and none of them were good. In Albany County, there were 300 new cases announced on the first day of the year, the first time the county reached that number. There was also one new death in Albany County, and hospitalizations reached a record high. The infection rate in Albany County is now four times that of the springtime surge. Rensselaer County confirmed a new single-day record with 180 positive coronavirus cases. In Columbia County, there were 77 new COVID-19 cases and one death announced January 1st. The state web tracker reported that Greene County had 61 new COVID-19 cases on December 31st and 48 positive tests on January 1st. Ulster County reported two additional deaths from coronavirus, and the state web tracker reported 119 new coronavirus cases there on January 1st. Dutchess County had another death from the virus on January 1st and 222 new cases, according to the state web tracker. Albany County Executive Daniel McCoy said schools should not reopen January 4th and instead go all remote learning. McCoy is also recommending to leaders of colleges and the university in the county to keep students off campus until the end of February. Quote, "We need everyone to pause," unquote, he said. The Catskill School District is partially taking that advice, extending all remote learning there until at least January 11th.
Noah's Weifel is reporting for the Altamont Enterprise. The town of Bern officials have been criticized by Open Government Watchdog, the Coalition of Open Government. The coalition this week released a report critical of Bern officials for prohibiting public comment at town board meetings, for improperly conducting executive sessions, and for failing to post meeting minutes online within the time frame prescribed by state law. The Erie County-based coalition is a not-for-profit organization founded by attorney Paul Wolf in 2018 that, according to its mission statement, and I quote, "promotes open, transparent government and defends citizens' rights to access information from public institutions at the city, county, and state levels," end quote. The report was sent to the Bern Town Board and Town Clerk as well as local media. It calls on Bern officials to allow public comment at every town board meeting. Officials currently limit public comment to every other regularly scheduled meeting. The report also requests the town clerk post meeting minutes online within 2 weeks, as allowed by New York's open meetings law, among other things. The report concludes, and I quote, "The residents of Bern have been subjected to a dysfunctional government, which has resulted in investigations, censures, lawsuits, audits, and improper executive sessions, all while being kept in the dark in many ways by the town board and town clerk. The town board has additionally muted the public by not allowing the public to be heard at every town board meeting," end quote. The report asks that Bern officials call executive sessions using the reasons provided by the open meeting law, which they have frequently failed to do, publicly post information for residents on how to file a Freedom of Information Law request, which is not currently available on the site, and create an archive of meeting agendas and documents. Neither Supervisor Sean Lyons nor the town's attorney, Javed Afzali, could immediately be reached for comment. Wolf said his organization became aware of the lack of transparency in Bern as a result of ongoing coverage by the Altamont Enterprise. Wolf said, and I quote, "The news media plays an extremely important role in bringing open government issues to light and pressure that brings about changes," end quote. And you can read the full story in the Altamont Enterprise.
Mid-Hudson News is reporting that the Ulster County Sheriff has launched an investigation into allegations that a woman was illegally arrested and physically abused by a deputy sheriff. According to a news release, nurse Shanna Saul was dragged out of her vehicle in a restaurant parking lot in the town of Ulster December 28th. Portions of a video taken at the scene appeared to show the officers dragging the woman out of her car with her screaming. County Sheriff Juan Figueroa has now released the body camera footage for the incident, saying it was prudent to release it, quote, "as this event has garnered community attention," unquote. The video shows the officer confronting the woman as she stood outside of her car, telling the deputy she could not produce a driver's license. Shaw maintained that she had the necessary paperwork at home, but he said a driver must have a license with them at all times and announced she was under arrest. Shaw then retreated into her car, saying she wanted to call her attorney, but started screaming when the deputy attempted to remove her. According to the video, the officer alleged that Shaw cut him off in traffic, but he did not approach her until after she parked her vehicle in the Buffalo Wings parking lot. Read more about this story at MidHudsonNews.com.
Andrea Mako is reporting for Porcupine Soup. The town of Greenville is once again the recipient of a $10,000 grant from Iroquois Gas Transmission System to support the trail system at Vanderbilt Park. Barbara Walter, treasurer of Community Partners of Greenville, the nonprofit that applied for the grant on the town's behalf, explained, and I quote, "The grant will go towards improving another portion of the trail through some wooded areas this coming spring," end quote. The project includes the completion of brush removal, grading the trails, fixing wet areas, and widening the path. The park will now offer a longer trail with more level surfaces, especially important to seniors and handicapped and runners, Walter said. Community Partners, officially known as the Greenville Citizens Park Committee, was formed in 1992 to help acquire the land for Vanderbilt Town Park. Iroquois Gas Transmission System is a 414-mile natural gas pipeline that carries gas from eastern Canada to the New York City area. The grant awarded to help improve Greenville Park Trail ranges from $2,500 to $10,000 and is reserved for communities where the pipeline passes. Among the previously completed improvement to the park paid for by the first Iroquois grant, 1 mile of mostly shaded trails graded and mulched with wood chips and an expanded parking area for the trail at the north end of the soccer fields. And you can read the full story in Porcupine Soup.
Claire Bryan is reporting for the Times Union that SNAP recipients will now be able to buy groceries from discount supermarket chain Aldi and have them delivered to their home for free for a limited time via the Instacart app. Partnership with Instacart means Aldi is joining Walmart, Amazon, and ShopRite in the capital region in providing delivery services to supplemental nutritional assistance program recipients during the ongoing pandemic. There are more than 51,000 SNAP recipients in Albany County, according to the county. Amy Klein, the chief executive officer of the nonprofit Capital Roots, which delivers fresh produce to locations deemed to be food deserts within the Capital Region, said this service would be great, but stressed the importance of transparency around the delivery service cost. Instacart will be waiving its delivery and service fees for SNAP beneficiaries during a 90-day period, which began December 16th, for the first three orders. After the third order, the recipient would pay a $3.99 delivery fee plus a 5% service fee if they are not an Instacart Express member, according to a spokesperson for the company. Amazon is providing free delivery for SNAP recipients ordering more than $25 worth of groceries. Walmart charges a delivery cost that can be paid off with EBT cash benefits from a different welfare program or a personal credit card or debit card. ShopRite also charges a fee that is not covered by SNAP benefits. Quote, I think this would be a huge help, unquote, said Mike Maloney, the Assistant Service Director of Community Resources at Unity House of Troy. But he warned that technology could create a big snag in access for SNAP beneficiaries. Quote, a lot of this is done online, and a lot of our folks don't have computers or Wi-Fi, unquote, Maloney said. Read more about this story in the Albany Times-Union.
MidHudsonNews.com is reporting the Empire State Trail is now fully open. Trail covers 750 miles, 75% made up of off-road trails for cyclists, hikers, runners, cross-country skiers, and snowshoers running from New York City through the Hudson and Champlain Valleys to Canada and from Albany to Buffalo along the Erie Canal. The trail is expected to draw 8.6 million residents and tourists annually. Lieutenant Governor Kathy Hochul said, and I quote, the completion of the 750-mile state trail not only makes physical connections between locations across the state, but it also continues to build on how we are reimagining our natural wonders and historic corridors as a source of recreation, economic development, and tourism in New York State, end quote. Recently completed rail trail projects include the Albany-Hudson Electric Trail, the Hudson River Valley Greenway constructed 36 miles of off-road and on-road trails from the city of Rensselaer to the city of Hudson. The $45 million trail follows the historic route of an electric trolley that operated from 1900 to 1925. The corridor is owned by National Grid, which authorized the state to build a trail on the route. And you can read more about the Empire State Trail at MidHudsonNews.com.
Kate Lisa is reporting for the Johnson Newspaper Corporation that Republican George Amador is encouraging state lawmakers to fight for upstate communities and for political balance in the Democrat-controlled legislature in the next session as the retiring state senator looks ahead to future endeavors. Amador of Rotterdam served as a state senator for the 46th Senate District from January 1, 2014 until December 31st. He previously served as a member of the State Assembly from 2007 to 2012, representing Montgomery and Schenectady counties. He is the owner and president of Amador Homes. Amador was succeeded by Democrat Michelle Hinchey of Saugerties. Amador chose not to run again in part because he believes in term limits. He also left office to focus on developing his contracting business and spending more time with his family. As for Hinchey, Amador said he advised her to always put upstate constituents first. Quote, she's there to serve the people and to represent the constituents, and I hope she does that in an unbiased way, unquote, he said. Amador expressed concern for the legislature's one-party rule, with Democrats in control of both houses and the executive chamber under Governor Andrew Cuomo. Quote, we do not have a balance in government. It's extremely dangerous, unquote, he said. Quote, all facets of levels of government in the majority and those who have the real decision-making capacity are from one political persuasion that is influenced by one geographic region, and that's the city of New York, unquote. Amador encouraged lawmakers to focus on improving state infrastructure and high-speed broadband internet access. He also noted the need to fight for fewer regulations and more benefits for small businesses. During his tenure, Amador championed improvements in Greene County, fighting for a comprehensive plan and infrastructure improvements for the Catskill Park. He also fought for Greene County to share in a special film tax credit program with a 10% benefit as part of the Empire State Film Production Credit Program. A longtime advocate of infrastructure and highway department funding, he also secured several infrastructure and other improvement grants for smaller communities during his tenure, including New Baltimore, Athens, Cairo, and Catskill. Quote, time has gone by so quickly, it's amazing, unquote, he said. Quote, I have a lot to be thankful for and appreciate the time and the trust that the constituents of the 46th Senate District have given me and the opportunity to serve throughout the years, unquote. Read more about this story at HudsonValley360.com.
And that wraps up the WGXC Hands-On Radio News Update. For local weather reports, public meetings, and other community information, use the WGXC website, WGXC.org. From the WGXC Newsroom, I'm Philip Grant. Have a good day.
National Weather Service in Albany predicts Sunday there is snow in the forecast, mainly after 3 p.m. with a high near 31, low around 29 Sunday night, and 1 to 3 inches of snow predicted for our area. Monday should be mostly cloudy with a high of 36 and a low around 29. And Tuesday, there is a 20% chance of isolated snow showers after 1 p.m. with cloudy skies, a high near 35 and a low around 26. You're listening to the radio, WGXC 90.7 FM, Acre, Catskill, Hudson, radio for open ears. The National Weather Service in Albany predicts Sunday there is snow in the forecast, mainly after 3 p.m. with a high near 31, low around 29 Sunday night, and 1 to 3 inches of snow predicted for our area. Monday should be mostly cloudy with a high of 36 and a low around 29. And Tuesday, there is a 20% chance of isolated snow showers after 1 p.m. with cloudy skies, a high near 35 and a low around 26. You're listening to the radio, WGXC 90.7 FM, Acre, Catskill, Hudson, radio for open ears.
No sports, no rock, no information for mindless chatter. We're your station.
Turn on the News Replaces Donald Trump Theater at 3 p.m. Thursdays on WGXC after the inauguration, picking up bits and pieces of the week's news and dropping them in a fictional radio network with computerized news readers, aggregated reporting, and automated music. Tune in Turn on the News every Thursday at 3 p.m. on WGXC 90.7 FM.
WGXC is made possible in part by the generous ongoing support of Michael Waldholtz of Hudson, New York. WGXC's sustaining supporters are among the station's most dedicated listeners. They care deeply about creative community radio, and their investment helps to sustain WGXC as a public platform for information, experimentation, and engagement in Greene and Columbia counties. You too can become a sustaining supporter by going to wgxc.org/donate and designating an amount of your choosing. Thank you for your support.
90.7 FM.
Acre, Hudson, Catskill.
Welcome, radio listeners. You're listening to Bound by Books Youth Radio on WGXE 90.7 FM, Acre, Catskill, and Hudson, listener-supported radio for open ears. I'm Emily. I'm the director of the Hudson Area Library, and I'm from Hudson.
I'm Amelia. I'm a student at Columbia Green Community College, and I'm also from Hudson.
I'm Mashuda. I'm 18 years old, and I'm from Hudson.
I'm Fatia. I'm 7 years old, and I'm also from Hudson.
I'm Lena. I am from Hudson.
And she's a mystery age. And we're here every week talking about books.
Books we love, books we hate.
Bookish things.
And that's what we're going to do today. This is sort of like our last show of the year and our first show of the year, in a way, because we're recording this on December 30th, and it's going to broadcast on January 1st for the first time.
So it all depends on perspective.
Yeah.
It could be the first, it could be the last.
But either way, Happy New Year to our listeners and to all my co-hosts here.
Happy New Year.
Happy New Year.
Let's hope 2021's a much better one than 2020.
Yeah. Happy New Year to you all.
You too. Everyone in the universe is saying that.
Yeah.
I forgot to write the title in my book.
I didn't catch that.
Yeah, she was saying she forgot to write Happy New Year in her book.
No, not Happy New Year. Did I? Happy Day.
Happy day.
Happy Day.
It's good to say Happy Day any day.
True.
So who wants to get us started talking about a book today? Or a bookish thing?
Yeah. I have a poem. It's great. Called New Beginning. So it's like a little poem for our happy New Year, because this year has been crazy in all aspect, and so I think we're all looking forward a new beginning. Yeah, so it's New Beginning by Helen Steiner Rice. How often we wish for another chance to have a fresh beginning, a chance to blood out our mistakes, a change failure into winning. It does not take a new year to make a brand new start. It only takes the deep desire to try with all your heart, to live with a little better, and to always be forgiving, to add a little sunshine to the world in which we're living. So never give up on despair and think that you are through, for there's always a tomorrow and a chance to start new. Yeah, I feel like this poem spoke to me, because this year has made me more sensitive than I ever was. And I feel like it also made me more strong, made me a strong person. And I feel like this year has made me feel emotions that I wouldn't usually feel, because I never felt I was going to see a lot of people, you know, all the COVID people, how a disease can change the world that we live in, just suddenly. Suddenly I was just senior of Hudson High School, and then suddenly I felt I was 30 years old, 30 or 50. Suddenly I just feel I have to take responsibility. I have to take responsibility of, because always washing our hands, putting the mask, because it's not just my life, it's also putting anyone's life in danger. And it's I don't know, it's just a different feeling in everywhere, constantly you're just seeing people dying of COVID, and then strange.
I'm sure a lot of people can relate to that experience. Been a challenging year for sure, and sad in many ways, but also some good moments in there too.
Yeah
Thank you for sharing that poem.
Yeah, thank you for listening. And I'm happy that we were all strong, and life threw difficulties at us. I'm talking about all of my co-hosts in this radio. We are all superheroes, and we all fought it. And now we're 2021. I mean, we're living in 2021 in 2 days.
Or right now when people are listening.
Mm-hmm.
We're in the future.
Ooh. Wait, this is the future?
Well, because people are going to be listening to us in the future. So in a way, we're in the future. We're time travelers. Pretty cool. Haven't figured out how to travel back in time. Although maybe, I guess technically on Friday when people are listening to this, we're in the past as well. So, interesting.
That's why I said you're super news.
Yeah.
How are you sleeping though? That's crazy.
Do you want to go next, Fatia? Do you have a book to share?
Yes, I do. And like this book is like okay, I'm going to read you the title. By Fatia Jenna. And it has by Fatia and Mashida. I put Mashida in it because
she helped.
Yeah, because I love her too.
Oh, that's sweet.
And like I have like so many unicorn pictures and like a bit of words in it. And I like made like a dress for myself. Like a dress. And here is like this one has like a lot of words in it. Not like that much. But this one says Fame, good, Mashida, Fatia, and Mashida. And I'm like, put a princess over here. Like, her name is Elegant. I put Elegant. I was thinking of a name. And this one is like, she has like a long dress, a really long dress. And she, like, I like, put scribbles here. Like scribbles right over here because like I'm making it into like a dark color, mixing it into a dark color.
So you're working on your illustration techniques to design the beautiful dress.
And this one's Ariel. She's Ariel. I put Ariel like this because I don't know how to like draw like a prince, but I only know how to draw like dresses and.
So for our listeners that are new to our show, Fatia loves to draw and write stories. And so she is showing us one of her latest books. And it seems like this one so far has mostly princesses and pretty dresses. Is that what the books mostly yeah. has?
Yeah, but I'm not finishing my own book. I'm just going to write to my title like more about something. I'm going to use a purple marker and write... But I will buy Fatia and Mashida.
Where do you get the inspiration for the dresses? Do you?
I think inspiration for the dresses because I was like thinking about it, and but now I'm writing something.
Okay.
And
well, maybe while you're working on your book, we can hear from somebody else. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Okay.
It's not me or myself.
Well, by the way, I didn't help her write the book. It was her. She did it entirely herself.
Yeah. Okay. But she put your name on it because she loves you. So she's sharing credit. That's very, very kind.
And it's her birthday. That's why. Her birthday is almost here. I made a present for her, but there's something inside that I'm not going to tell you.
Okay. It's a secret. I won't tell.
I'm going to tell what it really is. She's going to open it and see what's inside.
That'll be very special. Well, we'll have to, I think we have another week or two until Mashuda's birthday, so we'll have to celebrate on the radio when it's the special day. But thank you so much for sharing, Fatia.
You're welcome.
How about Amelia? What did you want to share today? Aside from the fact that I think you have a really great shirt on that our listeners can't see.
Well, my shirt says books make me happy, you not so much. And oh. I always wear it when I think I'm gonna be like home because it feels really rude to wear it out in public, even yeah. though I think it's cute.
I hadn't seen the subtitle.
I know.
Books make me happy is very nice though.
That's why I was startled because you noticed it and I was like, oh, I hope you don't think this is aimed at you. I promise it's not. I just like this shirt and it's comfortable. But it is about books, so.
Yeah, books. Books are great.
Books are great.
Many people are also great, but not every book is great. Not every person is great.
Mm.
At least at every moment or for every reader. But anyways, yeah. What did you want to talk about today?
I got Sam J. Miller's newest book, The Blade Between, for Christmas. And I haven't started reading it yet. But I believe that book actually got like pretty national acclaim. I read an article about it. And I thought that was very cool because Sam J. Miller is from Hudson and this book takes place in Hudson. So it'll be really interesting to read.
Yay. Yeah, I think there's some mentions of the old library in the book.
That should be interesting.
And it was really sweet. He gave us a shout out in his acknowledgments, which was very nice.
Oh my gosh, he did?
Very heartwarming. I didn't know that. Yeah. I was surprised. I still have to read it. I have the audiobook. It's my next read on audio. So I'm excited. So we'll have to book talk it.
Yeah.
Once we've both read it.
Yeah, I can't wait. I'm finishing Bitten, which, as you might remember, I started at the beginning of senior year, put down, and now I just am reading it because I feel like I'm too far in to give it up. It's not good, but it's, you know, it's there, and I feel like I need to finish it. I read like my mom reads. Even if I don't like something, I cannot put it down. It's like about the principle of it. I can't let the book beat me.
Although I guess you put it down for quite a while. I started it senior year.
I put it down for quite a while.
But maybe this time you'll complete it.
It's not even my book. My friend just doesn't want it back. Oh. That should have been my first sign.
Yeah. Although sometimes I like hand on, you know, pass on books to somebody else and I'm like, I don't need it back, but it's not because I don't like it. It's just because.
Yeah.
I don't know. I like to keep some books that are some favorites, but I like to pass them on occasionally too. Might as well give somebody else a chance to read them unless I'm planning to read it again.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that is true. But yeah, I got that for Christmas. I was really happy.
The Sam J. Miller one?
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm looking forward to that. Yay. How about you, Lena? I know you wanted to share some things you got for the holidays as well.
Yeah. Okay. So on Christmas, I got a tablet and a plushie of Monokuma, who is a character from a game and an anime that I like. And, you know, I got up to see if I had any books that I could share. And this was a book that my sister wanted me to read a long time ago. And I remember not liking it a lot. And so it's called Ghost Girl Homecoming by Tanya Hurley. I'm pretty sure that's how you pronounce it. And I'm going to read the back. Charlotte Usher, aka Ghost Girl, discovers that the afterlife isn't quite what she expected when she's forced to intern at a hotline for troubled teens. But Dewey calls when Hawthorne High's leading love to hate cheerleader and her gothic little sis suddenly find themselves in a dire need. Charlotte's opportunity to help them may prove to be the risk of a lifetime for all of them. And to be honest, when I read the book, I'm pretty sure I got pretty confused. I don't remember if I got confused or not, but from the title already, I just realized that there might be a first book. This might just be another book in like a series. I don't really know.
Yeah, I don't know either. I've never heard of that series. Sounds fun though.
Yeah, but it might be a series. I don't know. Or it could just be worded like that.
Very fun. I also got a book for the holidays that I'm very excited about. It's very heavy though. It's not a read in bed or bring around with you kind of book. It's like more of a coffee table book. And it is called Dolly Parton Songteller, My Life in Lyrics. And it's by Dolly Parton. And it's a really beautiful book that tells stories from throughout her life using different songs that she wrote. And it has lots of pictures of both her and other like instruments or group shots as well. And I'm a huge Dolly Parton fan. And so I was really excited to get this. And the only thing I have to figure out, so I started reading it last week, but I realized that there's an audiobook version of it where Dolly Parton is reading it. And so I think I might try to get the audiobook so that I can listen to it while looking at it, which usually I do one or the other, either listen or I read or I alternate between the two, but I never do the two at the same time. But I think this one might actually be fun to hear her reading aloud because she just has a very engaging, fun way of telling stories. But yeah, so I'm very excited about that book. I'm also excited to read The Blade Between, I believe is what it's called, the new Sam J. Miller book. So that's next up for me, as well as many, many picture books, of course, that I have. There's lots of year-end lists where they list all the top books of the year, and I go a little wild borrowing them. So lots of reading to do this week. Is there anything else you all are particularly excited about for the new year?
Miss Smith is like Emily. Miss Emily, I'm so excited for like my sister's birthday. so excited.
That'll be fun. Get some cake. She'll get your book. How about Lena or Amelia? What are you excited for 2021?
My birthday's in January too, so I guess
that should January be
exciting
birthdays.
As well.
Yay.
My next semester of college should be interesting. I'm taking a film studies class, which will be fun.
Is it like an intro to film?
Yes, that's class? What it is. That's what it's called, actually. I just could not remember the name of it.
I loved all my film classes in college. They're very interesting and entertaining and sure made me watch films differently than I did before. In a good way. I hope you like that. You'll have to let us know what cool films you're watching. Yeah. Or what horrible films you're watching. Could happen. Hopefully not too many. How about you, Lena? What are you excited about for 2021?
I'm excited that for 2021. I'm excited that we're going into 2021 now because, one, fifth grade is going to be over because I don't like fifth grade. I don't like school at all, to be honest. Mm-hmm. Also, that means I'm a year closer to finishing school and going to college.
Woo!
Yeah.
Do you feel like you're liking school less this year because of all of the weird protocols and, like, is that impacting things a lot?
I just dislike school, like, normally because, one, I hate how they always, like, an example is because they give us a bunch of stuff to do over the break, and I just remembered that I probably have some homework on break, but I don't remember because we had a sub, and I don't remember if they said if we had homework or not, so it's partially my fault.
I think I mostly liked school when I was your age, but I think in general throughout school, there were times when homework just felt like busy work, and that's never fun. I even had that some in college a little bit, but mostly not. Felt a little more purposeful. Although I definitely had classes and assignments in middle school and high school that felt purposeful too, and some that were really fun. So hopefully you get some of those too. Hey, is Mashuda there still?
Yeah, I'm here.
So what are you excited about for 2021?
I'm excited for a new beginning.
Yeah.
Yeah, fresh start.
It's always nice.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm already looking forward to the warm weather so that even if we can't hang out in person, we can hang out socially distanced outside. I had a lot of nice times this past year just hanging out outside in nature, distanced from my friends, but like in the same somewhat area so we could chat and connect. So I'm looking forward to that.
I'm looking forward to longer days. I don't like when it gets dark early.
Yes.
I've always had issues with that. But
it's
but we've
nice.
We've gotten past the shortest day of the year. We've gotten past December 21st. So it's going to be getting longer now, little by little.
Yeah, I love those moments in the sort of winter into spring where you all of a sudden realize that it's not really dark out at like 4 or 5. You're like, oh, it's coming. And you know that soon you'll have longer days. That is a nice feeling. I'm hoping there'll be lots of great books coming out and great movies too. There've been so many films put on hold because of COVID. I wonder if there's just going to be a mass sort of explosion of movies coming out in the new year, or if they'll try to pace them out. I'm not really sure how that's going to go, but there were so many movies that are starting to get release dates for 2021 that were originally supposed to be out in 2020. I'll be curious to see them.
Yeah, that sounds really exciting. I'm looking forward to Quiet Place 2, which was supposed to be like released in March 17 of 2020. So now it's like March 17 of 2022. And I'm very excited about that.
Wait, 2022 or 2021?
I'm in 2021. I'm sorry.
Okay. I was like, well, they put it off 2 years.
2021 is supposed to come up.
Yeah. And so I loved Quiet Place 1. And I think like John did a really good job directing it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'm curious to see what'll happen in the second one. I thought the first one was very entertaining.
Yeah.
I know The Quiet Place is part of the other Cloverfield like movies. They're all in the same universe. Have you seen the other one?
I didn't realize that, I don't think.
Yeah, I had to read that they were supposed to be all in the same universe, but yeah, they are in the same like world.
I think I saw there were at least two others, right? Because there's Cloverfield.
Cloverfield Lane, 10 Cloverfield Lane, and then A Quiet Place.
Okay, so I did see all of them. I don't really remember the second one very well.
Yeah, the second one was all right.
Yeah, is it by the same director, like Jezebel by John?
No.
I think so.
No, they're not by the same director.
Oh, okay. I don't know much about directors, so I don't know why I even bothered to answer that question.
You're like, of course it is.
I want to be part of the conversation sometime, and I just don't realize that what I'm saying is incorrect.
That's okay.
Well, yeah, but my favorite of those movies is probably the original Cloverfield. Mm-hmm. I just think nothing really beats the shot of the Statue of Liberty's, like, head in the street. That's just such a really powerful image, and I love it.
Well, I hope we all get to see some nice films and read some good books and see our friends and experience long days.
Yeah.
And get closer to college for Lena in the new year. And yeah, also exciting that we have two birthdays coming up in January. Well, we're just about out of time for today, but we hope everyone out there listening has a great week filled with lots of quality reading time. And we wish you the happiest of happy New Year's. Happy reading.
And Happy New Year. Bye.
It's been a long, dark night, and I've been waiting for the morning. It's been a long, hard fight, but I see a brand new day dawning. I've been looking for sunshine. You know, I ain't seen it in so long. But everything's gonna work out just fine. And everything's gonna be alright. It's been all wrong. 'Cause I can't see the light.
You gotta try something.
You got a job at the radio station?
Oh, great, that place. It's dark and dirty and has, like, what, those three weirdos who work there?
The EBFN. Evidence-Based Fiction Network Radio. It's EBFN, the Evidence-Based Fiction Network Radio. Sundays at 3:30 on Wave Farm Radio for open ears. WGXC Acra 90.7 FM.
Thank you.
Sooner or Later by Eliza Gilkinson, and it's also your introduction to Activist Radio. We offer, well, some history you didn't learn in high school. We have some news you haven't